Translation. After being cursed by the sages, the doorman said, "It is quite apt that you have punished us for neglecting to respect sages like you, but we pray that due to your compassion at our repentance, the illusion of forgetting the Supreme Personality of Godhead will not come upon us as we go progressively downward." Purport. To a devotee, any heavy punishment is tolerable, but the one which affects forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord, the doormen, who are also devotees, could understand the punishment meted out to them. Meted out them. Is that how we pronounce? Meted out to them. For meted. Maybe American is different. I don't know. For they were conscious of the great offense they are committed by not allowing the sages to enter Vaikuntha. In the lowest species of life, including the animal species, forgetfulness of the Lord is very prominent. The doormen were aware that they were going to the criminal department of the material world, and they expected that they might go to the lowest species and forget the Supreme Lord. They prayed, therefore, that this might not happen in the lives they were going to accept because of the curse. In Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, verse 19 and 20, it is said that those who are envious of the Lord and his devotees are thrown into the species of abominable life after life. Such fools are unable to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore they continue going down and down. Whoa, heavy statement. Okay, this is a very nice verse. As every other. Okay. So, when the Lord has desire, so his energies automatically engage his service. Automatically. So, there are three kinds of disciples. We know that. You know, one who hears, one who hears instructions from the guru or authority and doesn't do anything about it. And then one who is instructed and does his best to do the service. And there is one first class which doesn't need to be told. He can feel the mind of the guru or supreme authority and does automatically. So in this case, Lord desired to fight each hand in Vaikuntha, but he cannot do there in the spiritual world. So he sends his devotees to material world to play the role of opponents. So his energies in this way automatically arrange everything for his service because he is the Lord of everything. Just by desire, we know the story before all this happened, that once Jaya and Vijaya, doorkeepers of the Vaikuntha, were instructed by Vishnu that he has to take a rest, not to let anyone to his quarters. And then Lakshmi was absent. She visited material world. She visited her devotees. You know, there are many people worshipping Narayan, Lakshmi Narayana. On the way back, Jaya and Vijaya, stop her. They obstruct. You cannot enter. We have special order. And she didn't say anything. She was just silent, and then she passed the gate. And later on, she told Narayana, "You know what? These two doorkeepers, they're take birth soon in material world." She didn't say reason, but But Lord just was silent. He didn't say anything. So how this everything is arranged, how illusory energy, especially Mahamaya, Yoga Maya, arranging Lord's pastimes in that way. They're perfect devotees of the Supreme because they know what is the desire of the Lord. So they arrange or orchestration, play in which role, in which Lord just willfully takes place, assumes to achieve that plan, of the initial plan. So he doesn't need to labor hard to achieve, like we or anyone else. His energy is immediately working his service. So the Lord desires to fight and things then start to roll towards that. So when later on a few verses when Narayan appeared to pacify the Brahmanas and then to finalize that thing, beginning of that thing, he came together with the Lakshmi there just to assure her that what she foretold will happen. And also to pacify the Brahmanas. Four Brahmanas, four Kumaras, to pacify them. He apologized on behalf of Jaya Vijaya, on behalf of everybody. And then in later verses, towards the end of this chapter, how he glorifies the Brahmana, his devotees, how they are so great, so dear to him, his devotees who love him. He said, what he said in one verse, I will loop off my hand and give it to them because they are just so surrendered to me. So we came for that reason at the gate to arrange everything. So Krishna of Vrindavan, he doesn't have a desire to fight. He doesn't have. Who has itchy hands? Sometime Lord Narayana on Vaikuntha. He is more in Kshatriya spirit, you know, Aishwarya controllership. So he has desire sometime. And then when Krishna comes in Vrindavan, even doesn't kill demons himself. He expands as a Vasudeva. Feature is the same. He looks the same as Krishna when he in Vrindavan kills the demons. But these aspects of Krishna has this Vasudeva feature. So who is Vasudeva in that regard? We sometimes just say Vasudeva, he kills demons. But who is Vasudeva? Vasudeva is... Yes, Narayana, he has this mood of Narayana Krishna, of Vaikuntha Krishna. Vaikuntha mood is predominant there. And then he kills and fights with demons there. And in Vrindavan, what is Krishna interested only in simply loving exchanges with his devotees? That's all what he wants. They know this itchy hands. So one should know the Lord. See, it is very important for devotees to know different degree of the Lord's displaying these energies in different manifestations of avatars or incarnations. He just displays as is needed. But according to his intention, of course. So one should have this idea. But when you come to Krishna, supreme, absolute feature of the Lord. So we should have this information to know what is actually ultimate form of God itself, of the Supreme Lord. Besides all this, we cannot say lower, but they display certain amount of his feature. Therefore, after study Bhagavad Gita, which is introduction for us, then one comes to Srimad Bhagavatam, to understand who is that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through all nine cantos, before it comes to tenth canto, which gives you the glimpse of that supremacy, of Supreme God of Love, absolute manifestation of love. So that's a kind of gradual process. And after getting that glimpse, then you can study some other books, like Goswami's books, or, I don't know, my favorite is Gopala Champu. And then Radha Krishna, Gandhadesha Deepika, which gives this like amazing, you know, descriptions of the Goloka Vrindavan. So after Srila Prabhupada's books, this is my two favorite books. So in this way, there's plenty to learn. Since that, Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course, is like after Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, to understand this, why Lord comes. He comes, he knows everything, he has everything, but one thing he doesn't understand, that what his pure devotees feel for him. And therefore he comes to Lord Chaitanya. So, to experience that in the mood of his devotees, he comes. And then tests and distributes freely that supreme love. Whoever wants is available. But unfortunately, there are few only who desire this peak of topmost relationship with God, in which God forgets completely that he's supreme. He's not interested, like God is not interested to control, to judge this material world, to, you know, arrange. There's no such a thing. In his purest form, he's not interested to be God. He just wants this loving relationships with his devotee. So that's a call covering down. So in this verse, you know, in last few verses also, doorkeepers, Jaya Vijaya, they express only one emotion. Which one? This verse specifically describes that. What is their afraid of exactly? Fear. What fear of? Not to forget the Lord. See? So even like if we perform our service perfectly, it can be, you know, can be apparatus, can become there. So fear. So these are most intelligent of the men, you know. They're afraid to forget the Lord because this is definitely, you know, worst scenario which can happen. So the devotee's greatest misery would be to forget Krishna or Krishna consciousness. Definitely. He can be aware of that or not, but this is worst misery because you'll be lingering in the material world for a long time. And he's most intelligent because he's aware of that. Therefore, you know, what's that instruction? Smartavyam, Vishnu, yeah. Remember the Lord always. This is most important instructions for devotees. So you just think of it, like what would really be the greatest misery for you in this present, like, situation, honest? Anyone wants to? What would be the greatest misery for you? Any? In this present situation, present consciousness stage which we are, what would be the greatest fear or misery in life? Anyone brave enough to? Yeah, this is all connected, yeah, of course. That means you have no choice. Yeah. Be hard to keep the consciousness clear. Yeah, Prayojan?
My greatest fear is not being able to do service anymore.
Wow, yeah. Those for lifelong service, like for lifelong service, lifetime of service, of course, poor. But then, you know, in the mind, this continues, service in the mind. So therefore we have to practice that in the mind. When we are totally disabled to even to walk. And then continuous in the mind. And, you know, this is even more powerful than in physical. Yeah. So imagine that can you forget Krishna? Can you really forget Krishna? I mean, I don't know, in which circumstances he can. Once you start practice, and you get it stamped in your heart, deep down. My is so powerful. There's so many examples you can. But I don't know, man. What life you be? Once you get this, you know, you are just branded already in the heart. Even if you not aware of that, you are heart branded in your heart. And then due to whatever circumstances, this account of the original credit can be frozen. That's the only thing. Illusion can cover you for some time. It could happen. Yeah. So impression of Krishna consciousness in the heart of devotee who practiced sincerely once, it cannot be removed. It's mentioned. You know, any advance that you make, it cannot be diminished ever. It can be frozen for some time, but it cannot be ever diminished. But then, opposed to that, we have mad elephant offense. If one practices spiritual life, his creeper of devotional service, devotional life, start to grow. And then if he makes offense, then it's like a mad elephant comes into pure, beautiful garden and smashes, destroys everything, uproots. So this can happen, even for a few lifetimes, maybe. So even if one decides, even if he's angry with Krishna, drops Krishna consciousness practice, he considers it ridiculous or not for him, still, amount of service, which is his credit, is forever recorded there. And when we, after, may pass many lifetimes, he will start from that point when he's. But those who don't want, as this end of the verse mentioned very heavy, they never want to come. They hate the Lord, they envious. I mentioned many times quotes from the Bhugala Varnanam book by sage Vaidiraja Tirtha, that some persons, they just envious of Krishna and devotees, they don't want, and they perpetually go to hell. And they accept its suffering, they become addicted to that. They cannot live without. The very nature becomes this excruciating suffering. They don't want to rectify it. This is their choice. So they are such persons. It's mentioned is Kali and his followers first, and then some others. And but also, one who starts to practice, then by association, as he mentioned, by association with non-devotees, this can cause forgetfulness of the Lord. If we have 6 exchanges with non-devotees, dadati pratigrinati, guyamakyati prichati, bhunkte bhajayate chaiva. So that means exchanging, what's that here? Charity, giving or accepting from non-devotees, revealing one's mind in confidence to non-devotees. So that's where affection develops. Affection. When you reveal your mind to somebody and accept, when he reveals mind to you, affection to that person develops. So if it's in connection with non-devotees, this can cloud his mind. And accepting foodstuffs, very important, from non-devotees. Not offered food, even so-called vegetarian. It's like what he said, Bhagavad Gita. One who prepares the foodstuff for his own sense enjoyment without doing any sacrifices, without doing blessings, verily it's only sin. It's close to mode of goodness. From that can more easily advance when he drops that out. But if he doesn't offer foodstuffs to the Supreme Lord, karma is present there still. Any form of life is alive. So this sacrifice of offering diminishes karma to that. Also, like those who didn't get this stamp in the heart of Krishna consciousness, this impression, for example, in early days, they were competing who will make more bhaktas than others. They would just drag people quickly. Not that, you know, people didn't know what was going on. Like, you know, just collect them to show the Prabhupada their trophies, you know. Here, like, who was that one? I think Kridananda Goswami said, you know, they would go and make festival in some town, and then they would see one, whatever, confused, hippie. Come on, Billy, come on, you want to go with us? We go next town. Come on, you're ready to give up life to accept something amazing. Come on, let's go. Drag him in the car, he would do, you know, come with them. Yeah, why not? You know, hippies were adventurous. And then shave him next morning, and you know, and then many of them would, like, any opportunity to escape, you know. Like, Parashram mentioned me once in Ireland, there was one who joined like that. And then he was there a few days, and then one morning he was not there. They couldn't find him. Where is? And they went into a bathroom, I think, and frame was out of the wall, you know. He was a big guy. He jumped from the window. He got stuck in the window, and took window frame with him also down and escaped. It was a little bit kind of also my strange guy. But like this, so this depression will not happen. Very quickly comes what's going on. But after seriously practicing for some time, giving your life, then, you know, then this bija is sprouted. It starts to grow. So you have to just open the heart to that initial by association with a book or with a devotee, so key person, with open mind, this will be installed in us. So how one get bhakti? How one gets bhakti? That's another thing. Of course, when you join, like, benefit of Mangal Arati is tremendous. Chanting with devotees is tremendous. Like, it creates these samskaras. Early morning, I recommend to everybody, whoever can come, early in morning, with the devotees, give your best with attention, chanting, be with devotees. This will create tremendous impressions, which is just a favorable soil for bhakti to sprout, because, as we said, Madhura Kadambini said, bhakti is independent as the Lord is dependent. It's not that by these activities you'll get bhakti. You're not going to happen. But you set up favorable soil. You set up favorable consciousness in which that bhakti will reach you. And bhakti is locked in the heart of the devotee. So that's how he says bhakti is independent. But bhakti is born out of bhakti. Maybe it's better if I just read this. A few excerpts from Madhurya Kadambini about bhakti, how is independent. Okay, he said, here is an overview of the concept of causeless devotional service based on this text. One, the independent nature of bhakti. Not caused by karma. Bhakti is not the result of previous pious activities, karma. If bhakti had a material cause, it would not be purely spiritual. Supremely independent. Bhakti is as independent as Krishna himself and cannot be forced or purchased by any effort other than its own pleasure. Caused only by bhakti. The only cause of bhakti is bhakti itself. It appears in the heart by the causeless mercy of Krishna or his devotee. The role of causeless mercy. Devotee is mercy, while causeless bhakti is generally bestowed through the association and mercy of advanced devotees. Partiality is mercy. Madhura Kadambini argues that while the Lord and his devotees may appear partial by bestowing mercy on some and not on others, this is not the fault, but an ornament of their compassionate nature. Beyond material qualities, the mercy of devotee can awaken devotion in an innocent soul, regardless of their previous qualifications. That means mercy of pure devotee can awaken that bhakti, regardless who was on before. How bhakti sprouts? First is faith, shraddha. Devotion begins with faith in the process of devotional service. Then hearing and chanting, this is the second. The process is cultivated by hearing and chanting, shravanam kirtanam, which cleanses the heart. So association with devotees, chanting with them, cleanses the heart. It makes more and more favorable soil for bhakti to come. Overcoming obstacles. The text explains that bhakti removes all obstacles and bestows auspiciousness, subhada, liberating the practitioner from ignorance, false ego, attachment, and aversion. Stages of development. Madhura Kambeni highlights that the progress of devotional service is not always linear and often goes through stages of unsteadiness. That means in the beginning you go unsteady. You go up, you get down, enthusiasm and not enthusiasm, vishaya, sangara. But moves towards steadiness gradually, nishtha, slowly. And then taste, and then deep attachment. These are stages. In essence, Madhura Kadambini teaches that devotion is a free gift of the Supreme Lord and his devotees, which cannot be attained through material effort, but rather through the humble desire to serve. So this desire to serve and association with devotees creates that favorable soil. You show yourself that you are ready. That's all that you need to do. You show that you are ready, that you want. And then Krishna arranges person to plant that in your heart, bhakti. I know this is like about verse, like interestingly here, just one thing, which Kumaras, they say that before they saw the Lord in life, they said they were meditating on that same feature in their heart with ecstasy. It's interesting. We say that they were Brahmavadis, but that means in their heart they already were attracted to the Lord before they saw him. And then when he got present in front of them, they were mesmerized. A few verses ahead describe the feature of the Lord, how it looks. But in their heart, there was some attraction. So can Brahmavadis meditate on the Lord with that attraction? This verse said that they are kind of almost there, but not yet. So they meditate in a missionary ecstatic trance. And then from next chapter, I think, describes that Jai Vijaya immediately took their role on the way down to assume. So, and they were born like great demons because Lord was supreme, so they need to be supreme demons. It's not like any shabby demon. They need to be supreme. They play a role perfectly because Lord need equal or near to equal competition. So they came as a... Nobody could challenge them. Nobody. Nobody. All demigods were like a carpet on his stairs. It's what he said. He would step on the head of Jupiter or whatever, Saturn, before he could sit on the throne, when he occupied the throne of the Indra. So I don't know what was Brahma's position, but later on Hiranyakashipu asked boon from Brahma. Was Brahma there among those subjugated? And what he was thinking of Brahma later? You know, he's mortal, I'm immortal. Anyway, this is for next few verses. So I said what I have to say. If somebody has to say something, comment, feel free. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, I have a question, Prabhuji. You are talking about those six loving exchanges. I was thinking about it a few days back. So there can be some devotees whose very presence makes us remember Krishna. Just having their darshan is so inspiring. If they are around, we feel like performing devotional service. And there are some who do not inspire us so much, who make us, who do not remind us of Krishna. So is it okay if I practice these six loving exchanges only with those who inspire me, who remind me of Krishna? Or should I try to practice these six things even with those whom I do not like so much?
Yes, good question. And I had a discussion with somebody and they said, you can also pick up those favorable speakers and favorable association, but you never neglect this association also. Because even like neophyte can give you instructions if you just open to it. It can give you this, you can get something out of it, out of the association. But that what your heart is pulling towards in Krishna consciousness, you should do more and more of that as much as possible. So association with such advanced devotees is very powerful. And any opportunity you should have, you should associate with them, serve them, again this mercy, because they are able to unlock very condensed bhakti to you. But even those small things, you Prabhupada would take instruction from non-devotees. So association is one thing, intimate association, and then instructions. Srinivas, you want to say something? Yeah.
With certain devotees, you'll be like a swan. Unless you can separate milk from water,
better
not to be with them.
Yeah.
So there was an example. There was one devotee, he took over the Calcutta temple. He was a ritvik. And then eventually the temple got back to ISKCON. So Srila Bhakti Churumaj, because he's a ritvik devotee, he had contact with the police in Calcutta. And they weren't allowing the devotees to do Rath Yatra at that time in Calcutta. So Srila Bhakti Churumaj contacted that devotee and told him, can you help with your contact, can you help do the Rath Yatra? So he facilitated that. So with certain devotees, unless you can engage him in Krishna's service, better keep a distance.
Yeah. Of course. Like devotee is intelligent, he knows. Like you're not gonna go intimate with those who may confuse you. Govinda, sorry.
There's different angles in this, but one angle is sometimes if a devotee doesn't inspire us, it might be we just don't know them so well, or something maybe we misunderstand.
Something karmically.
Sometimes if you give gifts to people that you don't particularly like, it can actually, you end up liking them actually. You see the reaction.
If you give them
gifts.
A gift.
If you do loving exchange with people that maybe don't like so much, it can actually change your
relationship. Yeah, it can. This is my also realization. This is incredible. There are some, my nature. I'm a little bit, dodgy. It can be dodgy. But, and then some people just somehow, I don't know what's the reason, I just can't connect with them. It's like, it's just something, But then this is just my illusion. In few instances, I kind of dropped this everything, and I was just kind to them, friendly, extremely. Immediately, this feeling just dissolves. It was my illusion, simply. I just, my own anartha's reflection, maybe. Just smile can dissolve all this. Like, it's incredible. When I was in Mayapur, sometimes it was tough. My diet was terrible. I was kind of down in the morning. And then there are those, like, many guests, And it's incredible. Sometimes I'm walking and let me see smile to the people, that give them some inspiration, And then there's some tough people, guys, or somebody doing something, which, what he's doing. But if I would just pass them by, I would just look in their eyes with smile and Hare Krishna, this would melt away everything, no bad feeling at all. Like, wow, it gives you so much. It's incredible when you do this. It's not that they brighten up. You get a wave of something. Wow, And then this is just on your like a comment. Definitely, you know, like proper approach can change your heart. You know, worse demons. You know, it can change if you know how. If you don't, better don't. But of course, you know, it's possible. We have to, like, as mentioned, once I noted from somebody, he said, there are people, persons you don't like, but then drop this all around, and then look the ways in which you can make them your best friends. Just have a fun with that. Devise the plans, strategies, ways to become their best friends. And it's possible, definitely. There's a way to the heart of anyone. Anyone else? Prayojan? Yeah?
There was a non-devotee, he was a bully. He used to wait for the children and he'd bully them. You know, my mother said, you should feel sorry for him.
Oh, your mother.
Because they don't know any better.
Yeah.
Because actually he was beaten as a child.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a disciplic succession of cruelty to get a respect.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The subconscious reason for all this.
Yeah, yeah. It was, so you should feel sorry for him because they don't know any better.
Yeah. Jai. Okay.
I think in the fifth verse of the Nectar of Instruction, it talks about different levels of devotees and how we relate with each of them. And the neophyte devotee, we offer respects in the mind. And then those who are on our same level, then we should try to make friendship with them. And the advanced devotees, then we try to serve them and hear from them as much as possible. Also, I thought there's a nice verse from Srila Rupa Goswami about in this connection about how we attain bhakti. And it goes like this: Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti vi sukritir na labhyate. That this Krishna consciousness, pure devotional service and full Krishna consciousness can be attained only, cannot be attained even after millions of lives of pious activities. It can be attained only by paying one price, and that is intense greed to attain it. If it is available, one must purchase it without delay. So I thought this was nice. You were making this point that we just have to show our eagerness by coming every day to the morning program as much as possible, chanting with the devotees and just showing that we're ready and really being eager and praying to the Lord for bhakti. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's true. Open your heart. That's the thing. Like, make some endeavor against your ego, whatever. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahapurana, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Gauranga. You some more? I mean, anyway.
I actually wanted to ask, we often hear that this material world is created because of our desire to enjoy. But also from this pastime, we learned that actually, if there was no material world, the Lord could not experience this chivalry rasa.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, is there also some part of creating the material world, is there also some desire for Krishna for this material world to be there so that he can experience the chivalry rasa?
You're asking, is it any part of the world?
Is there some, because you explained that actually when Krishna comes to this material world, it's Lord Vishnu who is killing the demons, who is fighting the demons. But my question was that if this material world is created because of our desire to enjoy, but is it also Krishna's desire to enjoy his chivalry rasa? And why this is part of the reason why the material world is created.
Lord never creates something just like that, or which is useless, nothing for him. He uses opportunity also. You know, he uses opportunity also, initially, you know, to use it, to make many fold manifold reason why material world is created. Initially, our desire is to be given chance. Only if through material existence we can elevate ourselves to stop samsara, to stop taking birth and death. And along with that, Lord enters in, and he has pastimes. He is fun God. He's not boring God who judges, stays there. And I don't want to touch this. No. He comes, and then he's also part of it, becomes, takes part of it, takes, so, you know, it's hard to kind of pinpoint, but, you know, he creates it for his pleasure, whatever he does, energies arrange, and then, as you said, you know, he comes to material world to have this chivalry rasa, not in spiritual world, so there's one reason also why material world is there, he can enter, and then compassion, and then it's all simultaneously many things happening. The Lord is most clever. There's no material obstacles for the Lord. You know, he comes personally as a fan, and his way inspires those who are on the way to him to come. So anyway, comments you can say so much about. But it's a manifold. This includes, of course. We are fortunate. Jai. Okay. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Goranga.